Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 54 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University, from the Carl Chevrolet Studios in Ankeny. Thank you for the assist on the number. No problem. I knew it was either 53 or 54, but I couldn't remember for sure.
Yep, 53 was last week, so we don't want to go back in time.
We do not want to go back in time. We are quickly approaching Social Security age for the podcast.
Yep.
3 months away.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. Can't wait to apply.
Yeah, can't wait to apply for Social Security for our podcast. Yeah, we'll be, we're slowly approaching retirement age here. And then
episode 69 as well.
Wow, man. That will be an event. That will have to be a special event.
Yeah, something.
And then the one that I do with Jeff next week is episode 21.
So nice.
That podcast.
Drinking age.
Yeah. I might have to bring in some alcohol or something, Jeff.
Definitely.
Take a shot before the podcast.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I can't even imagine Jeff on a podcast after a shot.
Like, what, will you take a shot of Malort or will it be something like more?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Something more celebratory.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, I'll bring some champagne.
Ooh. So a fancy, classy toast.
Man, I imagine that if I brought champagne, then we would just sit here and drink champagne.
See, I feel like.
And that would just go. I could feel like that would go very sideways.
I feel like for a football, like, centered podcast, you kind of got to go with the tailgate mindset. So whatever your choice liquor would be for tailgating.
The only problem is that is that when we do that podcast, it's like during business hours.
Nah, that's true.
Here in the Carl Chevrolet Studios.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that it would be
appropriate.
Yeah, to come in and just Jeff and I just get wasted sitting at this table.
Probably not. Unless you recorded like tomorrow, I guess you still have to go out to the basketball game, but again, like, no one's gonna be ashamed if you're stuck inside drinking tomorrow.
I mean, we do it on Mondays, so
yeah.
Like, if we did it a Monday,
but
we usually do it at Mondays at 1:45.
Mm-hmm.
Not appropriate drinking time, probably.
It's afternoon.
Only if it's Memorial Day, you know.
Yeah,
like Memorial Day or Labor Day.
Fair point.
At that point. At that point, if you're starting drinking at 1:45, then you're an idiot.
We did just have MLK Day. That was an opportunity.
That's fair. And, you know, despite the fact that that MLK did many great things for our country, we did not have that day off.
That was the day either.
I had to go to Lawrence, so.
Yeah. A few of my buddies had that off, and I was very disappointed that I did not get to join them.
It's crazy how there are some schools that get it off, like some high schools and stuff like that. I don't remember ever having that off growing up.
We had it for Iowa State.
Well, yeah, in college we had it.
Yeah.
But in high school, in middle school, elementary, I never remember having MLK Day off.
Nope, me either.
But I know a lot of schools in the Des Moines area do.
Really? So it must be an urban thing because we're rural. So.
Well, yeah, now that I think about it more, maybe they don't. You know, generally the contributions to society made by Martin Luther King.
Are you going there?
I'm just saying that when you think of the demographics of those towns.
Yeah, so you technically were going there, which is, I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
Well, I'm not trying to make it like a thing like saying, I'm from there. I'm not saying everybody there is racist. Like,
yeah,
that's not
yeah.
what I'm saying. I'm just saying that when you think about it, like, they'd probably be not the ones that are celebrating as much as you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The more split demographics in the city of Des Moines.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
You're the one who had to make it like a thing.
I mean, I just didn't know
you had to question it. You had to get, you're going to go there?
You kind of did. And I'm not saying you were going to go the whole racist route, but you just took the whole demographic route.
I'm just saying that if we wanted to look at the census for Clarinda is like 98% white.
Oh, yeah. Well, same for Albia, where I graduated.
And that's what I'm saying. That's just like,
yeah.
At that point, we're like,
but
that's
is
using
that,
it as an excuse to have no ha- not have school, like, more than it is
but
anything
is,
else.
But there
we're
may
gonna
be
sit and reflect on the
but there,
what Martin Luther King
this
did.
This is
for
a
us.
Classic case of there may be correlation, but is there causation there though? That's the question. Is that why? I'm not sure. You think so?
Yes.
All right. I don't know. It might be that the schools around here are just more with the times, you know. Given
well,
honor
I mean,
to
I definitely, yeah, I definitely think that that's probably true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, this is really.
Let's move on and talk about something cool like the weather.
Yeah, this is. this really was a weird way to start the podcast.
It was.
Iowa State with a win over Ole Miss on Saturday. Kind of a dominating performance.
It was. Besides the turnovers, everything.
Just about exactly what you would like to see from the Cyclones outside of the, you mentioned, the turnovers.
THT played well. I think we were all kind of waiting for him to have another really good game like he did.
Lindell played well.
Yep. Which was encouraging after the game against Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if they can... They're not going to shoot 69% every time. Nice. I know.
Yeah.
But if they can...
They shot 76% in the second half of the game.
Which is insane.
That's ridiculous.
If they can do something similar, not quite that good on offense, and cut down on the turnovers, they're going to be able to beat anyone on any given night.
Yeah. I will say, though, too, I don't think Ole Miss is probably a great team.
I do think that they were a little bit overrated.
Yeah.
They've got a couple really nice guards, but other than that, they're kind of just dudes.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think that whole situation, the whole Big 12 SEC thing, is stupid.
I hate that it falls in the middle of the conference slate.
Yeah.
If we moved it back into the regular non-conference time of the year, I'd be totally fine with it.
Yeah. And I get what everybody's saying about how it, you know, gives them an opportunity to showcase the league on such and such, like on a specific day and all stuff. It's like you could do that in December.
Exactly.
And still have a day where you just do it all at once.
And people would argue, well, hey, teams might not be coming into their own at that point. But technically, you can make the case that there are still some teams in the Big 12 that haven't completely come into their own. Like Iowa State's just now getting back to complete full strength. They're all kind of gelling right now. But at the same time, Lindell Wigginton, you can make the argument that he is still in the process of getting back to 100%. So,
yeah, I don't know. I honestly thought that the Big 12 was just kind of going to dominate them there for a minute, though.
Mm.
You know, and then it kind of came back to the mean later in the day. But
did you see John Rothstein tweeted that the SEC had three tournament teams sitting out, and he was trying to make that a big excuse?
Yeah, let's also keep in mind the fact that the number one team in the country had to play the worst team in the Big 12.
Like, yeah.
That's so stupid. Whose fault is it that the SEC is a bigger conference than the Big 12? Whose fault is that?
No one's.
It's just how it goes. If you want it to be about the 10 best teams or whatever, if you want it to even be remotely about that, put your 10 best in there.
Yeah.
Leave your four worst out, but you're going to, at the same time, it doesn't really count because there's only the 10 best teams from the SEC, and then, you know, the Big 12, they're 10th best. Like, that's just all they've got, like all this stuff. It's like, then don't do the challenge at all. Like, if you're going to make it like that, then that's just stupid. If you're going to put the matchups out before the season, it makes no freaking sense.
And another thing to keep in mind, too, is that, like, even 2 or 3 years ago, Auburn, LSU, and I can't remember who else stood out, but those two teams in particular come to my mind. They were not near as good as they are this year.
Yeah.
So looking back when the schedule, like, you know, when people were thinking, looking ahead, those teams aren't as good.
Well, I remember thinking when it came out that Iowa State Ole Miss matchup wouldn't be big deal.
Yeah.
Because it was just like Ole Miss, I didn't know anything about them. You know, and I knew they had a new coach, and it was like, I mean, maybe they'll be okay.
And
like,
Iowa State was coming off of a major down year.
Right. And so it was just, it seemed like this will be like
a mid-tier at best
game. Yeah, and then it ended up being probably one of the headliners of the whole thing.
I would say the second headliner.
Yeah, because just coming out of having the two ranked teams. But, I mean, other than that, like, there really weren't that many games that were even interesting.
No.
You know? And it all is about getting Kentucky and Kansas on national television on Saturday night.
Yep.
But I don't know. It is what it is. I just think it's... That was stupid, though. That was John Rothstein. I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, here's a question. Do you think that, because they extended this conference clash for another 6 years, if I'm correct.
And they added the one with the Big East now, too.
Okay. So they added that, too. But in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, do you ever foresee there being a year where they don't match up Kansas-Kentucky?
Have they ever done that?
I'm trying to think back. Didn't one year they played West Virginia, Kentucky did?
You might be right.
And maybe it might have been Florida that went to Kansas or something like that. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean.
It just feels like it's been like every, even though it may not have been the case, it feels like every year it's Kansas versus Kentucky.
It's been at least 3 years. that they've done that.
Yeah. Because I would love
to. I feel like every year that they've done it in this format where it's on the Saturday, it's been Kansas, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And it just goes back and forth between those two. That's the first day of College Game Day every year.
I would love for Iowa State to either get the chance to host Kentucky or go to Rupp Arena. That'd be a blast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is the sigh?
Man, I don't know. Yeah,
it'd
be cool if they came to Hilton. I don't know.
Spit it out.
I would just be worried, dude, if they had to go to Rupp Arena on a Saturday night, and be College Game Day. I would be real scared that they'd go there and get their ass kicked.
I'd be nervous, but why?
It'd be just like, oh, no.
Why is it any different than going to Allen Fieldhouse?
Because the dynamics of the whole thing are just different.
It's not a conference game, but at the same time, there would be a big time non-conference
win. Kansas went and kind of got, they didn't really put their best foot forward either that situation. But I don't know. That would just make me weary. I would see that on the schedule and be like,
see, I'd see it on the schedule.
Here we go.
I'd see it on the schedule and I'd be like, yeah, there's not really anything to lose there. And there's a whole lot to gain.
Yeah. That just seems like it's every year that's like when Kentucky figures it out, is around this time, just with all the freshmen and everything, except for the years when they've got like that year when they had Carl Towns and Devin Booker and the Harrison twins. And
when they're just awesome from the get go.
Right. When they went undefeated for basically 6 months before finally losing in the Final Four. This year's team, I would have been cool with it. Going into the year, we might have looked at that and been like, we'd be like, well, I guess we're going to learn something.
Yeah.
But like now, if it's like, okay, now they have to go to Kentucky and play them, I'd be like, yeah.
I guess that's
like they could hold up in that game.
That's a good point. I guess you're right that if you'd asked me before the year if I would have felt comfortable with Iowa State going into Rupp Arena, I'd have been like, we're probably gonna get our asses handed to us.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, yeah, Iowa State can play with anyone.
Right.
So
well, yeah. Even the same thing, like if they'd had to go there last year, like think how that would have gone. You know?
Yeah, it would have been ugly.
And I don't know. I mean, most of these teams that they've had recently, like I feel like the last George team lost to Texas A&M on the road. And then the team with Monte and them lost to Vanderbilt. Like, let's not act like they've done so hot in the SEC Challenge in the last few years.
I'm not saying that, but I do think that they have. I mean, there was a stat that posted to Cyclone Twitter that Steve Prohm already has the most top 25 road wins of all coaches in Iowa State basketball history.
Yeah.
So you feel better about it than the Fred Hoiberg era.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But there's not that many places that are like Rupp Arena, and the one place that is in the Big 12.
That's fair.
Is somewhere that he's won one time.
Yeah.
That both of those guys combined to win one time.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I still think we'd be more.
That arena seats like 20 something thousand people.
It's huge, but I do know that some members of their fan base are fed up because all the blue hairs are the ones getting the great seats and the student section is further away. Yep. What's so funny about that?
No, it's just funny. I love that that's how, like, that's just always a college basketball storyline.
Yeah.
Places, like, where's the student section at?
Yeah.
You know? Man, imagine if, like, it. Somewhere like that, or at Hilton, if they moved the student section to the place that it's in, like in East Lansing,
yeah,
or even in Lincoln, like where it's on right behind the bench,
yeah, the sidelines.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine what kind of uproar that would create.
The donors would not be happy, although it would make it a much better environment, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. If you could span it the whole length of the court, that'd be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
The arena probably has to be bigger, though. That's the problem,
yeah. Oh, and the students actually had to show up.
Well,
so not to go down that road.
No, again, yeah, that's you're not wrong. But
although, would that make it more appealing? Because you automatically know that you get great seats.
I'd think so. Because I think they'd probably have to make the student section smaller too.
Mm.
You know, like there'd just be fewer students that could get in.
Yeah,
and I want to say at Nebraska. I think this is right. My sister's a season ticket holder for their games. And I think that they have that area along the baseline or along the sideline. And then there's another place where if you don't get seats there, you sit there.
Okay.
So like they could sell the same number of tickets, but then it's like the base or like the lower bowl seating is along the baseline or along the sideline.
Yep.
And then everybody else sits in the top, like in the same place that you already did.
That makes sense. And that rewards people who are diehards who get there early.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then the people that sit in those seats now, like they just get moved to the sides.
Yeah.
I think we might have done something here.
I mean, I think that's always been like kind of a no-brainer if you want
Did you see the story or the opinion piece in the, I think it was an editorial or a letter or something, letter to the editor in the Daily about...
oh, yes. I know where you're going with this. I did see it.
About the questioning the atmosphere in Hilton Coliseum.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to find it because it was phenomenal.
You need to read that word for word because it's not that long either.
No, I'm going to find it.
Yeah, let's do that because it was very, very interesting to me.
I've got some tabs here that I need to keep open. Mm. We've been...
You tabbing up in here?
Yeah. Well, one of them is my... 3-point preview that I need to finish writing. All right, Iowa State Daily, Facebook,
and this
found
is what
it on, I think I found it on here.
This is what, like 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Man, not even that. I feel like I saw it like over the weekend or something.
I think you might have saw it then, but I feel like it was after the Kansas State game or somewhere.
Okay,
about then.
Oh crap. Okay, I'm gonna have to scroll in here a ways then.
Dun, dun, dun. I know the Daily tweeted it. I'll see if I can find the tweet while you're searching so we don't make this as terrible over radio as we can.
But this was, I remember reading it and I was just like, oh my God, like who took the time to write this and hit send on it and was like, yeah,
this is a good idea.
I really killed that one. Here it is. Oh, make Hilton it. Magic, not mediocrity. What a headline.
We're giving this person
who is this
some
from?
Fame by putting
who is this
them
from?
On. I don't know. They had their email on it. I know that.
Is this a letter to the editor? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they put a name on it.
Do they not? The email's at the top. I
mean, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, Aaron Buchwald. Aaron, if you're listening,
here we go.
Be prepared for your letter to be read for. Probably at least several thousand people. Okay. Quote, Hilton Magic should never be taken for granted. Hilton Coliseum is a unique venue with a loyal and knowledgeable fan base. Love of Iowa State basketball and the collective passion of over 14,000 random screaming fans coalesces into a cacophony that empowers the Cyclones and unnerves visitors. Wow. Some vocabulary there.
Yep.
True Cyclone fans have contributed to making Hilton one of the world's best basketball arenas and one of the toughest places to play in the nation. Not anymore.
Not anymore, period.
Not since the student section began thwarting spontaneous roars in favor of childish orchestrated chants. Hold up. What does that mean?
Childish orchestrated chants. I think when I read this the first time, my mind went to what the band does for chants.
But that's not... How are they going over the roars? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make sense to me
either. It doesn't make any sense.
Because when the roars happen, you cannot chant over those roars.
No. And that's what I'm saying.
Like, now, they may be trying to say that in place of where they could roar, they instead chanted, which in case, I don't remember that ever
I don't
remember
happening.
That either.
No. And I've been to every game for like 5 years. I don't remember that ever happening.
Yeah.
All right. Visiting teams were once intimidated by the crowd at Hilton. Their prayer was to get a lead and play in such a way to take the crowd out of the game. Now their prayers are answered. The ignorant ISU student section does this for them, hushing the crowd to make way for an idiotic drone as the visitors possess the ball.
Hushing the crowd?
What?
So wait. Okay, so I kind of understand the drone thing because, you know, you go,
that's just where it is everywhere.
Yeah.
What do they expect you to do?
Doesn't he go on to say that that's what happens everywhere? I'm
gone
pretty sure
are the impromptu roars that rallies the defense.
See, I don't remember there ever being like I do remember there being roars that make the defense get better, but that's only when like they go on a run already and then the crowd like gets into it because they're like, keep it up, or the reverse, Iowa State gets down a little bit and then they're like, okay, let's pick it up, and then the crowd starts to roar to, you know,
see,
pick
and what
up.
I don't get is, does he want it to be quiet the rest of the time and then all of a sudden it like they go on a run and then it like blows up? I don't get where
I don't know about that either.
Gone is the enthusiasm and spontaneity of a crowd reacting instinctively to the game. I first heard this kinder moan 30 years ago at UCLA. Now it's copied all over the country in arenas with the most obnoxious fans. What better way to make visiting teams comfortable on Ames than to eliminate the uniqueness of Hilton by silencing real fans and copying something that's heard everywhere else? Okay. The Oklahoma State game on Saturday was a disgrace to the Hilton legacy. Throughout the game, when the crowd was on the verge of reacting, the choreographed whine artificially kept the noise level to a minimum.
So again, I think that's the...
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. That's what... What is expected? I don't know what the crowd noise that he's trying to mention is.
I wonder that too, because it seems like when we were in school, you know, early 2010s, I always remember doing the
That's what I've always heard. That's what you hear everywhere.
And I don't recall ever seeing.
And I get what he's saying about how, but how's that? What can you do that's any different? What do you do that's different that makes that big of a difference in the game?
I guess cheer a whole lot louder. I don't know.
I don't get it. I feel like people
do that anyway.
Student section needs to take responsibility for their part in eroding Hilton magic, leading in part to the K-State loss. Pretty sure the student section wasn't there that game. Were they?
They might not have been. They definitely weren't there for the Kansas game.
What,
we know that.
What day was that?
I think that was the Saturday right before they got back from spring break, right?
That was the 12th, yes.
Yep.
So, okay, there we go, Aaron. Yep. There's another problem with your little letter to the editor here.
So it wasn't the student section that was the problem there.
Stop copying basketball illiterates at other schools and return to the unique experience that is Hilton Magic. Hey, I think Kentucky plays tonight. Let's listen to their game at Rupp Arena and see if... Hey, I know Kansas plays tonight.
He'd make the case that what you hear on TV is what Iowa State should not be doing.
The basketball illiterates.
Yeah, the basketball illiterates.
At the some of the best, a few other of the best arenas in the country. Stop copying basketball illiterates at other schools and return to the unique experience that is Hilton Magic. It's real, but it won't endure without the passion that created it. Don't be the generation of students that ruins it and takes away an enormous home court advantage, turning it into Hilton mediocrity.
See, okay.
Well, Aaron, I'm looking at KenPom right now, which just so happens to have a metric to measure home court advantage in college basketball. Iowa State is third.
Behind who?
Arkansas and Colorado, oddly. I don't know why.
That's weird. but anyways. Colorado, you could probably blame it on the altitude.
Yeah, because like Air Force is fourth, so...
Mm-hmm. And at Arkansas, you could maybe
one
say
it's one of them who's eighth.
Who?
You would never guess. I don't think.
Is it Iowa?
Yeah.
No, that's not okay.
Okay, maybe we have some.
Now I'm questioning
this. Some problems with the home court advantage.
Because Carver is definitely not that intimidating.
Yeah, it says okay. So it's model inputs based on last 60 home and road conference games. Values are per game differences between a home and road margin. Okay, actually that makes sense then.
Because Iowa is terrible on the road.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, it's if you're really bad on the road and you're really good at home, then that does mean that your home court advantage probably is better.
And that kind of makes sense because I would think that Arkansas's 40 minutes of hell would go much better at home.
Do they still play that way?
I'm pretty sure Mike Anderson's still there, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, no, Nolan Richardson's not there. Corliss Williamson. Shout out to Corliss Williamson and the 1994 national champion Arkansas Razorbacks.
So, okay.
Now, that's the real 40 minutes of hell.
Going back to his letter, there is a lot that I disagree with fundamentally, but I think the if you look at the broad point he's trying to make is that what would make Hilton different from everywhere else is if everyone was just more wild all the time. And I think...
Good luck.
That's hard to do, absolutely. But at the same time, yeah, I kind of agree with that point. If you look at it really, really broadly, it's like, yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're like, if you're doing everything you can to try and think, it's like, okay, I'm going to try and see the merits of this.
I'm trying to give him as much of the benefit of the doubt as I can.
Exactly. If you're trying to give the benefit of the doubt, then yes. Mm-hmm. Is he correct? Is what he's saying realistic?
Probably not.
I want to find exhibits of evidence in which this has ever been the case.
Yeah, I would love that. And, you know, there's probably going to be clips of older Iowa State games back when the crowd would erupt, but it would be because something good happened in the game. And
it's not because you're just randomly being an idiot, like being wild and being loud.
But yeah.
I would love... Maybe we'll have to get on Cyclones TV and look at like a game from Fred's era or something to hear what it was like then. Cause I don't know how it would have been different.
I would have loved for him to reference, cause I don't think he did, exactly which era in Iowa State Hilton Coliseum history was the peak Hilton Coliseum, Hilton Magic. Like what would it have been, Fred and those teams or would it have been
the Pfizer teams or who?
When Hoiberg was coach?
Yeah, that's what I don't get. I don't understand like what... I think they're doing okay.
Yeah,
for the most part, playing at home.
I mean, of course, I can always critique the student section of what they could do better. But at the same time, I don't think it's egregiously bad that we need to write a letter like this to the editorial at the Iowa State Daily.
I love that the Daily printed it, though. Because you just know whoever got that letter, they were like, oh my God. Like,
oh yeah,
this thing.
Well, and plus... I guarantee whoever was at the Iowa State Daily News Desk was like, oh, this is going to bring in the clicks.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're going to get us reading about it, reading it word for word on our podcast.
Exactly.
I wish they would have sent it to us. I would have printed that.
Yeah, honestly. That would have killed on Cyclone Fanatic. either as an article itself or on the forums.
I wish it would have been a thread.
It would have got downvoted to hell.
Oh, God. Just imagine what some of those people on the forums would have said. They would have just eviscerated that guy.
Yep.
I would have loved it. That's like one of my favorite arguments is the crowd arguments on the forums.
Yeah. Because they pop up like every after every loss.
Every home loss. Every home loss, there's at least two people that are blaming the fans.
Yep. Fans need to be better.
I think during that Kansas State game, I can't remember. It had to be in Kansas State. There was a lot of people blaming the fans in that one.
Well, and again, the student section isn't there.
No.
At least not in its full capacity. Like, they gave students the chance to get those tickets, but it's not like every student who has student tickets showed up.
You want me to say something that might make some people angry?
Sure.
I don't know if they're... Actually, I don't know if I want to say it.
Do it.
I think
you committed.
There are people that I think will be slightly offended. I don't know that there is a fan base in the country that feels like they have a larger impact on the outcome of the game than Iowa State does.
I'd agree with that.
And don't get me wrong. Hilton Magic is real. I've been there. I've felt it. It 100% is real. Jack Trice Stadium, when it gets rocking, it is ridiculous. But I'm just saying that there is too many times where you see people out there blaming the way that the game is going on the fact that the crowd is not loud enough.
Yep.
And that, to me, like I said, we're overinflating the importance of the crowd in certain scenarios.
And I would say on the Venn diagram of those fans, like a lot of the people who do that would overlap with the people who, like on the forums, would say, when people try to project the rest of the season, they'll be like, oh, we have to take it one game at a time, guys. We can't look ahead.
Yeah. But do you get what I'm saying? Like it's not in a bad way, but it's just like sometimes you have to like look yourself in the mirror and be like, hey,
I'm just a fan.
Like we are just the fans. Like we're not the ones playing in these games.
Mm.
At the end of the day, the guys that are playing probably couldn't give two shits whether or not there's people in the stands or not. Like they just are playing basketball because they like to play basketball. And it's like, then there you go. Like
the fans are the frosting on the cake. You can have a cake without frosting, but at the same time, the frosting makes the cake better.
Right. And that's why you go to a place like Baylor and there's no crowd at all and they still figure out way to win games all the time.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't make that big of a difference. And it's not that in the times that it does make a difference is in those big games in the final moments of the game when it's like people are just, it's just pure pandemonium.
When Mike Gesell's at the free throw line.
When Mike Gesell's at the free throw line or like when, you know, in the run against Oklahoma and like that kind of stuff. Like that is when it's absolutely insane, you know, and that is when it can make a difference. And more often than not, like you can't blame their play in the first half of the game.
On the fans. Yeah.
You know, and that has always been annoying to me. And I said that to Chris, I think during that Kansas State game, I looked at him, I was like, man, I don't know. Why are there so many people that act like how loud the crowd is has like that big of an impact on the way people play.
Yeah. I mean, again, we like to believe that Hilton Magic is always like the difference between winning and losing, but at the same time, sometimes it's just the basketball team.
Yeah, it's really not that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It and then sometimes it's just like, man, we're just a better team than them,
mm-hmm.
you know, or we have some really good basketball players.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the crowd was insane.
Mm.
I'm going to have so many people mad at me.
We'll see. Hopefully. I wouldn't mind seeing some Twitter wars going on.
I don't think that I'm wrong. I will go to my grave with that one because that has always annoyed me.
I'm with you. I'm glad you came out and said it.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, like just chill.
Mm-hmm.
Just
enjoy being a fan.
Go to the game and like cheer and like don't like be holier than thou, like with all the other fans, you know? Like you don't got to be like, if I was at this game, I'd be so much louder than you are. You know, it's like, like, let's just have fun. Like, let's just cheer for the team.
Yep. Pretty much.
So West Virginia.
So about those Mountaineers,
They don't press that much anymore.
No,
They're
not that good.
Can you name somebody on the team?
Well, the center Konate or whatever.
Is he still hurt?
I think so. I don't think he's playing.
Yes.
And I know the Bolton guy because he's not playing.
Oh, yeah. Jonah Bolden?
Yeah.
Jonah Bolden's not his name.
It's another B. It's something. But anyways, Bolton, he's a guard. He's not playing. Saw that because I was on my Twitter feed. No, other than that, no, I did not know any other player on their team.
They have Issa Ahmad.
Oh, yeah, Issa. He's been around for a couple of years.
Yeah, he doesn't play very much.
I remember him kind of got himself into
the doghouse.
Okay. Because I remember him being a pretty nice player.
House.
Yeah. What? Seems like every player's in the Hugs house.
That's true.
There's not a player that's outside the Hugs house. But yeah, Kansas lost to West Virginia, but that was in Morgantown, and I don't think that West Virginia can go in the Hilton Coliseum and win. I'm 99% confident that Iowa State will win tomorrow night,
assuming that the crowd is loud enough.
True, as long as Hilton Magic shows up and performs to their fullest capabilities, that will lead us to victory.
Agreed. All right, let's answer some mailbag questions.
Okay. Well, actually, okay. So this week for this mailbag, I did something a little different. I asked for hot takes as well because it's cold outside and I wanted to warm things up. So
it's cold outside, but the action is getting hot.
That's right. So instead of questions, I included a few hot takes.
Okay.
And we get to comment about the hot takes. So multiple hot takes from Cy Jeans. Hot take number one, Steve Prohm wins more games than Jeff Prohm. I think we can all agree on that one.
I think that is a safe one. Yeah.
It's a safe one. We'll just move on to hot take two. Hot take two, Brock Purdy is a Heisman finalist next year. That is a hot take. I don't think he's going to be a Heisman finalist. He'll be a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He's not going to be a Heisman finalist.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that Tua and Trevor Lawrence have at least two of the spots locked up.
Yep.
Everybody's hot on the Justin Fields thing at Ohio State.
I will go on record and say that in order for Brock Purdy to be a Heisman finalist, Iowa State will need to win at least 11 games in the regular season next year.
Yeah, 11-1?
Yeah.
I would say that's a safe bet. Yeah. They would need to be squarely in the national conversation until the final weeks.
Correct.
Like, in conversation to be in a near six bowl.
Even if
Sam Ellinger will have a good chance to be a Heisman finalist. Travis Etienne from Clemson will probably have a good opportunity to be a Heisman finalist. Yeah, no, sorry. Sorry, Cy Jeans. I think that this one's probably going to be a no-go for this next year.
Even if Brock Purdy had the single best season in school history as a quarterback, it wouldn't matter if they went 8-5 again.
Fitzy, do you know what the school record for touchdown passes in a season is?
It's not that high. Isn't it only in the 20s or something like that?
It's 20.
Is it 20?
It's 20.
That's not that much.
He could have the best season in school history 21. By a quarterback, and he could throw 21 touchdown passes.
21 touchdowns.
And what did Tua throw this year? 50, probably?
Yeah. He probably threw, what, at least 40 this year, didn't he?
Trevor Lawrence threw a stupid number too.
And he only played, what, three quarters of the year?
Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa threw 43 touchdowns.
So he more than doubled Iowa State's best season ever.
He threw for 3,966 yards.
You pulling up the yardage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got my record book right here.
It's probably, again, it's probably less than half.
Oh, if, I mean, the dude almost threw for 4,000 yards in a season. And he was 14th nationally.
And traditionally, Iowa State has never been a really big passing team. Again, you think back to Troy Davis.
Let me put it to you this way. 3,966 yards for Tua this past season would be ninth all-time in career passing yards at Iowa State.
Goodness gracious.
His 43 passing touchdowns would be third.
All-time?
All-time on the career record chart.
Goodness gracious.
The single season passing yards record is 3,245. So seven hundred yards.
Is that Brett Meyer?
It's Seneca in 2002.
Seneca. Okay.
Brett Meyer ended up with 2,876 in 2005. So a cool 1,100 yards less.
Behind Tua.
Yeah. Todd Bandauer has 20 touchdowns. Had 20 touchdowns in 1997. Now I have to know like what the the leaders had in Dwayne Haskins had 4,831 passing yards this year. That would be seventh all time.
Yeah.
Surpassing Sage. And then passing touchdowns. I think that Haskins probably had that too. 50.
So let's say that
50 passing touchdowns, by the way, would tie him with Brett Meyer for the most in a career at Iowa State.
So let's say again, best year in school history, Purdy throws for 25 touchdowns.
So this year's Heisman finalists threw for 4,831 yards and 50 touchdowns, 3,966 yards and 43 touchdowns. Keep in mind he played in three quarters in every game. And then the Heisman Trophy winner threw for 4,361 yards and 42 touchdowns.
Okay, so here's a question for you.
So basically, he would have to account for 50 touchdowns and about 5,000 yards of total offense.
Yeah, that's a lot. So here's a question. So I know finalists is technically considered top three, correct?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's more.
Let's say like the nominations, like top 10. What's the lowest quarterback on that list?
Was it Mackenzie Milton? I don't know if he would count, though.
That's true, because he got hurt.
Well, Will Greer finished, I think, fourth or fifth, and he had 3,864 yards and 37 touchdowns. Gardner Minshew, I think, finished fifth. He had 4,779 yards and 38 touchdowns.
Yeah. So, I would actually...
I'll find out the Heisman standings. Heisman 2018 final voting.
Okay.
We'll figure out who the last quarterback was. I'm pretty sure it was
Milton.
Milton, though. Mackenzie Milton finished sixth.
Okay.
And he had 2,663 yards and 25 touchdowns, but he also missed, I think, the last two or three games of the season.
How many touchdowns you said?
25.
So, again, more than Iowa State. Iowa State quarterback in a single season.
Yeah, and he played in...
I think it was 9 or 10 games.
10 games, yeah. 10 games.
Hmm. So that just goes to show how good you have to be to be a Heisman finalist.
Yeah.
So I would say that in the order of increasing hot takes, that was actually a much hotter take than you thought.
That
side jeans.
Right. That might have been a scorching take. He's got scorching takes here.
He does. He has two more scorching takes.
Might want to throw that one into the
scorching category.
We're going to upgrade that one into the scorching.
Yep. All right. So we'll get into the ones that he thought were scorching. Scorching take number one. Only serial killers and psychopaths eat plain vanilla ice cream, malts, frozen treats, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's an acceptable take. I would downgrade that one to hot, though. Do you drink regular vanilla?
Yeah, I like vanilla milkshakes.
Is it your go-to? If you go to Dairy Queen right now, would you be like, what I really want is a vanilla shake?
Probably, yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, no, I wouldn't. No, I'd probably get an Oreo Blizzard, but
okay, like over.
If I had to get a milkshake, I'd get vanilla.
Okay, so if you were given the choice between chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, which are like the traditional ice cream flavors, you would take vanilla over those other two.
I mean, it would be vanilla closely followed by chocolate, and then strawberry would be a distant third.
I don't know if that qualifies you as a serial killer or not. It's pretty close.
Well, I haven't murdered you yet, have I?
No, that's true. But you're probably just silently plotting. Waiting for your moment to strike. Probably, it'll probably be episode 69 is when you'll come in for the kill. So
that'll be the end. Who killed Fitzy? That'll be the next, like, that'll be the next CF Chronicles.
Yeah. And throughout all of these podcasts, you'll have dropped little hints that should have alerted viewers to your plans.
Right. Right.
So
that'll be the next episode season four of True Detective. Mm-hmm. Dissecting the,
it'll be based on a real story.
Exactly.
Who are you getting to play you in the story?
Man, I'd say
it's gotta be someone tall. Is there a tall actor out there?
No, I want Miles Teller to play me.
Miles Teller?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I don't know who I want to play me.
The only problem is if it was True Detective style, like, we wouldn't get to see him until, you know, probably halfway through the show.
It's true.
Unless it's, you know, it's going to be some sort of twist that it's like we've known him all along.
Mm-hmm.
You like True Detective?
I
think we've talked about this.
We've talked about this. Yeah. I haven't really watched the whole thing, but I've watched certain parts. So we'll leave it at that.
Sad.
Moving on to Scorching Take number two, which is technically supposed to be his hottest take of all, I believe. Sugar cookies are plain cookies and the worst cookie in a ranking of cookies.
Okay, what's we got some more takes from somebody?
No,
I'm done with side jeans.
I must say that you're in favor of sugar cookies?
Yes.
I'll say that I think oatmeal raisin are worse, just because you go in looking at oatmeal raisin, you're like, oh, this is going to be a chocolate chip cookie. And then,
nope. Oatmeal raisin is the fake news of cookies. Fake news.
I will say that if, like, you make the oatmeal part of it and then put the chocolate chips in place of the raisins, that's a real good cookie.
Yeah, that's a good cookie. So. But oatmeal raisin, like, we're trying too hard to be healthy. Like, I don't want, if I'm going to eat a cookie, I don't want to be healthy.
Very true. Yeah, it's fake.
All right, next.
All right, last hot take from
Side Jeans. Blackball that guy. He's he's blocked for a while from banned. From Stans and Fitz.
All right. Sorry, Side Jeans. Jared has spoken. All right, moving on. Danny Cyclone with the last hot take of the pod. With Ohio State locked in with Ryan Day for 4 to 5 years and the Browns promoting Freddie Kitchens, Mack Campbell will still be at ISU in 2025.
I hope so.
I hope so too. Do you think that's a hot take, or do you think it could realistically happen?
I don't think it's that hot.
I don't think it's that hot either. I could see him being at Iowa State in 2025. That's only, 6 years from now at this point? So, and he'd have been here for 10 years total. That's not that long. If you think about, like, Ferentz terms.
Yeah.
So, I would think that there would be some really nice jobs open up during those 6 years. But I could also see Matt Campbell actually wanted to stay here for a while and win a couple conference championships.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Hot, but not that hot.
All right. We'll be right back in the Carl Chevrolet Studios on Stans and Fitz, presented by the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University.
Hey guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Psych 1 Fanatic? Well, you help Psych 1 Fanatic by you support our advertisers, and everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care, and you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care, designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Psych 1 Fanatic.
All right, we're back. Time for Hot and Not. You want to go first?
I'll go first. James Harden, dude's on fire. I know you're the NBA guy here, but he has not scored fewer than 30 points in a game since December 11, which is 23 games of 30 or more. So he's got to be the unquestioned most valuable player of the NBA at this point, correct? Like, he's always been good, but he's never been this good.
No, yeah. I mean, he had 61 in the Garden last week. All 61 were unassisted.
Yeah. So he's doing it all himself.
Yeah, basically. And I mean, he's averaging over 36 a game. There's only like two guys ever that have ever averaged more than 36 a game. One of them is Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my point. So, what'd you say, 23 games in a row?
Correct.
In 1961-62, Wilt Chamberlain scored 30 or more points in 61 consecutive games. From November until mid-February, Wilt Chamberlain scored more than 30 points in every single game.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is unfathomable what he was able to do. And, like he got his streak broken, and then the next week he just casually
restarted it back up.
Poured in 100. Like it is what it is. He's just like, hey, I'm just gonna get 100 tonight. Yeah, you know,
make it up for it.
If he wasn't a huge asshole from like all accounts, there's no way that anyone would ever be more dominant than him. But I think he probably gets discounted because of the fact, like I said, that most people from that era considered him to be a huge asshole.
Yeah.
So that really hurt him. He was so good though that he would literally at the beginning of the year, he would say, I want to lead the league this year in this. And so then he would just go and do it.
Yeah.
Whether it was rebounds or points or assists. I think he still has a single season assist record in the NBA. Mm. He's still one of like the all time leaders in assists. And it's just because he was like, I'm just gonna.
And go. I'm gonna
have more assists. Than
I would make
else.
The comment that the players in today's NBA are much better overall, though.
Yeah.
Like I don't think Wilt Chamberlain could stroll in nowadays and put up 50 points on a given night.
Well, that's why I said there will never be a player more dominant than him. It won't. I'm sure that there are guys who have played since that are better basketball players than him. That like if you put him against Shaq, I'm sure that would be a fine matchup.
Yep.
You know, but. For him versus the era of people that he was playing against, he was so much better. Yeah. There's no question as to who the better basketball player was, you know, who the best basketball player was. Bill Russell was the best winner, obviously, because his teams won every year, but he was by far the best player, you know, and Kareem was like the same way, where it's just like he was head and shoulders so much better than everybody
that
it was just ridiculous. Man, So
is there any other player in the NBA this year that could play well enough in this final, you know, couple months to where they're beating Harden out for MVP?
LeBron James.
Because he's been hurt for a while now, right?
Yeah.
Is he back officially now?
No.
Okay.
Kawhi. I think Kawhi could do it if he really kind of carries the Raptors here for a little while. Don't sleep on my guy in the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'd probably have to make a little bit of a run here, but.
Does Steph have a shot?
Nah, probably not. Because the problem for them is that those guys take votes away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're all so good. It's like no one wants them to win.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be Harden. I'd be shocked if it's not. I don't know.
Especially considering he won last year. And he had a much worse year last year.
One other guy to throw in the mix is Giannis. Which he's having a stupid good year too, you know. I mean, they're the best team in the East.
Yep.
Right there with the Raptors, at least. They're one of the best teams in the East. So I don't know. There's some guys right now that are about to hit their stride, I think, that you could say that they'll win an MVP at some point. I mean, Giannis will win one at some point. Anthony Davis, I still think, will probably win one at some point. I think that Embiid probably has a chance to win one at some point. So, you know, kind of getting into it. I think, yeah. Probably getting into a point where it's got some guys that are going to start hitting their stride a little bit. Maybe that'll get a little bit of a more difficult race, but Harden's been ridiculous. It's crazy. My only problem is that it goes to the free throw line so much.
Yeah.
All right. My hot this week is not hot because they've done anything good. It's hot because of the hot takes that have been spewing from the callers on the Sports Fanatics on 1460 KX Snow. Most specifically, an individual by the name of Mark on Monday's show called in. Chris was talking about Iowa basketball. And he said that Iowa, that Rutgers and Illinois are comparable to Baylor. In Kansas State. And I was sitting by my sitting listening to it, and I was like, my mouth just dropped. I was like, what did this guy just say?
Yeah.
He tried to compare two of the worst programs in the Big Ten to two programs run by two of the greatest head coaches in the history of the sport of basketball.
No hyperbole at all.
Scott Drew, who literally brought Baylor back from the depths of murder, and has turned them into a perennial NCAA tournament team in Waco, Texas.
Multiple Elite Eight runs.
an elite head coach. And Bruce Weber, one of arguably the best defensive coach in the country. Screw Tony Bennett. Bruce Weber.
He doesn't know nothing.
Bruce Weber has been doing it way longer than Tony Bennett has been doing it. Final fours. Well,
national runner-up.
Final four went to the national championship game. We won't talk about who recruited the players that he was coaching. That's
doesn't matter. They weren't. He wasn't coaching them.
Doesn't matter. He wasn't coaching them, and it doesn't matter that that same coach is back in the same state that Bruce Weber is coaching in. It was a farce, and I couldn't even get it. I can't even wrap my mind around it. How anyone can do the mental gymnastics to even make a claim of the sorts.
No. There is no, right now.
Man, last week I was talking about Ja Rule. This week I'm talking about these guys.
There's no basketball program in the Big 12 right now that you could point at and be like, wow, that's a perennial doorstep. You could say that about Rutgers.
Oklahoma State.
I wouldn't even say that they're a perennial doorstep.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, I would say that they're obviously towards the bottom of the conference, mm-hmm. but they can play anyone if they play well.
Yeah.
It's not like they're just going to get run over.
Right. Fair.
And yeah, picking Kansas State, who is what? Tied for at least in the upper half of the Big 12 right now?
They're tied for first, aren't they?
I believe so. So that's very odd to say that. I know they're not very good on offense, but they have a really, really good defense.
Yeah. And then to say Baylor, like I said, I mean, I was just like, man, come on. Like, you're trying way too hard to twist your narrative here, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Just chill. Chill.
Definitely. So were there any other callers that came to mind? From the Sports Fanatics?
There's the guy that was calling in that kept calling Ross Scott last week. That was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they're having a lot more callers that are drunk when they call in.
It's 5 o'clock on the Sports Fanatics.
it is, literally.
It's not. Yeah, it's time to start drinking during happy hour. So
yeah.
Probably posted up at the bar just thinking, oh, I'm going to call in the Sports Fanatics today.
Why not, man?
Yeah.
Why not? But yeah, so I had to talk about Mark. Specifically for the hot takes that he was spewing. We should have put him in the mailbag and hot takes section.
It would have fit in very well.
Yeah.
He should also write to the Iowa State Daily.
Yeah, he should.
Write an editorial. All right. My not this week is, why do I have to go into a radio station in order to accept a digital album as a prize?
Can we put the radio station on blast?
Yeah, it's Laser.
Okay.
So Muse is one of my favorite bands, and they're running a contest where if you hear a keyword on the air, go in, enter it on their website. You're entered for a daily, prize. I won one of the prizes, so I get a free copy of their digital album, their new digital album, and I get entered for the grand prize of a trip to Vegas to see Muse play, all the non-food stuff paid for.
Yeah.
And I can't just be like sent the link with the email I registered for. I have to go into their office, present my ID to claim my digital copy of the album.
Isn't it downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah, over by the sculpture park?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to do this in business hours. So 8 to 5, when I work 8 to 5. So, and it's 40 degrees below zero outside. So I have to get out of my car, out of the comfort of my own home, when I'm not working, 8 to 5, and go get this. I just don't see any point.
This is a first world problem.
It is a first world problem, but I'm upset. It's a total knot. I am happy that I won, and I'm happy that I could go to Vegas to see one of my favorite bands, but at the same time, totally a knot.
What are the odds that you would go to Vegas, like actually win and go to Vegas?
I don't know. I think they probably ran the contest for like a month, so probably 1 in 30 if they pick one winner each day.
Yeah.
So, not
is
that
it
good.
Only like here that's
Yeah, it's only I'm pretty sure it's only Laser.
Oh
yeah.
Wow, okay.
So my odds are better than they would be if it was a nationwide contest. Yeah. If I'm not here, I guess it won't matter because it wouldn't be during a Wednesday or a Tuesday, but still. I'll let you know. I'll follow up if I win.
I hope you do, man. I hope you
it
do.
Would make well, going, it would
hey,
make,
on the bright side, maybe nobody else has taken the time to go down there.
And honestly, maybe the whole ID thing is maybe I have to show my ID to actually be considered so they know I'm a real person for the grand prize. That could be. That might be the answer. In which case, I would be like, okay, that makes sense.
How did you know that you won? Did they email you?
They called me.
Oh, okay.
Got the voicemail. Yeah. I thought it was another spam caller because I get like five of those nowadays.
Yeah.
But no, it was a real person.
Real person. Wow. Mm-hmm. Congrats, man.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Yep.
Or I'm happy for you.
It was kind of a half knot or a half hot half knot, but yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
My knot this week is Super Bowl logos. I don't know if you've seen the graphic going around. For 43 years, the NFL had individual Super Bowl logos and they were all awesome. And it was like every year they did something different and it was always kind of, you know, fit the city that it was being played in and all this stuff. Mm. And then for some unknown reason, they went away from it.
Yeah.
And now they just use a generic cookie cutter logo that they put a one behind every year.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense.
For, I think after, you could tell because of that graphic, there's one specific point where the next like four or five, especially, were literally the same.
Yeah.
Like it's just the Lombardi trophy with the Greek letters underneath.
That's what it is now.
Yeah. And I mean, it still is that. They've varied it a little bit more, but it's all pretty generic cookie cutter crap.
It just makes no sense to me where it's like,
that's a tradition.
We are going to take something cool and make it not cool anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they might have gotten a lot of great feedback on the 1 year, like that they'd said, like the next year after the great year, they were
Super
like,
Bowl 45. Oh, stick with it. Super Bowl 45.
Okay.
And then they got to Super Bowl 50. And that was like that's like the only year that they ever didn't use the Roman numerals, which makes sense because it's Super Bowl 50.
I don't know, man.
I mean, it would have been Super Bowl L. I don't think that would have been
I just go with it, man. Roll with it. Make it a thing.
But then since then, they just have the L, the trophy, and then a one or the I. And then it's L, trophy, I, L, trophy, I. And then next year, it'll be L, trophy, I, V.
Yeah, boring.
But like the one that they had in Atlanta, I don't know, this would have been Super Bowl 28. I don't know what that year that would have been. It's got like a peach on it. Super Bowl 36 in New Orleans had the United States presented on it. I'm sure that was after 9/11 mm-hmm. that they put that one together. The last one in Atlanta has like a cool little seal. There was one that was in New Orleans that's got some Mardi Gras type stuff on it. And they just, I don't get it. Why would they do that? That's stupid.
The marketing department must have just gotten totally laid off or something.
Or something. Yeah. Like they just were like, yeah, we're just going to make this boring now.
We're going to allocate our resources to not pay a new graphic artist to design a new logo.
Since they're hurting for money, you know?
Yeah, the NFL has no cash flow these days.
Really struggling there at the NFL offices. Can't even afford to.
It's unfortunate. Poor guys and girls, I guess. So.
Whatever.
All right,
let's do
Would You Rather.
Yeah.
We did not do them last week, so you are still on the hook for asking me questions this week.
Damn.
Sorry.
All right.
I know it's more fun to answer, but.
All right, we're going to do two.
Okay.
Two. One, two. All right. One and 250.
I'm going to make you scroll all the way down.
No, I'm going to search.
You take the loser's way out.
Suck on that. All right. That's okay. Would you rather wear what makes you feel comfortable or wear the best outfit in the room?
So basically, wait. So what setting is this? Am I going to like a meeting where... I can be in sweatpants and a t-shirt or like it totally depends on the setting. Like, is it just like every day?
I don't know.
Or is it like at work? I don't know, man. That's tough. If I have to pick one over the other, I just want to be comfortable. Like I don't care what other people think about
me. Same.
But at the same time, if I'm going to meet someone important for work, then obviously I'm not going to show up in sweatpants. I'm going to try to dress nicely. So. But yeah, I would err on the side of comfort.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, what do you want now?
122.
Would you rather find out you're adopted or find out one of your parents has a secret family? Oh my God.
Find out I'm adopted or find out one of my parents has a secret family. Oh, that's not one with an easy quick answer for me. I think I'd rather find out. Whoa, man, I don't know. Depends. Why are they keeping it a secret?
I feel like this is the part of the movie you never see, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you see the person who has the double life. But, like, now, what was the movie we came up with last week?
I can't remember. What was it?
Oh, no, it was Matthew McConaughey as a basketball coach.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Jonah Hill as the bag man.
Yeah.
I still love that idea.
Oh, yeah, that's going to... We'll win some Emmys with that one, probably. Right.
But I think the more I think about it, I would be fine with one of my parents having a secret family because there's probably a reason that they would keep it secret from me. It'd probably be to protect me for some reason.
I love that you give your parent with the secret family a benefit of the doubt.
I would. And it's not that being adopted is bad. I wouldn't be devastated by being told I was adopted, but at the same time, I think that would just open up, like, I would need to do more work to find out, like, okay, where do I actually come from? Like, I'd be interested in all that kind of stuff. What in reality, if one of my parents told me that they had a secret family, I'd probably just, you know, again, trust them. They're secret for a reason. It's fine. Do you disagree with me on this one?
No, I don't know. Like I said, it's funny that you're giving like their parent with the secret family the benefit of the doubt. You know, I respect it. I guess, yeah.
That's the way I would look at it.
Fair enough. All right, man.
Stay warm out there.
Yeah, everybody, stay warm. We will talk to you guys again next week. Hopefully, it will be warmer. We're gonna go from -61 chills to like 50 degrees on Saturday.
It's gonna be marvelous.
Yeah.
100-degree turnaround. It's crazy to think about, honestly.
Yeah. What if it did that from Wednesday to Thursday? Do you think it would feel like to walk outside, like when it felt, you know, like if you walked outside at night and it's something like 60 to -60, and then you go out in the morning and it's 50 degrees?
That'd be very interesting. You know, honestly, be more interesting if you like try to stay outside throughout the whole change. Like, would you gradually thaw out or would you just be permanently frozen with frostbitten, you know? That's a tough one.
What a world, man.
Yep.
Lots to ponder. What a earth. We won't give any commentary on global warming like Chris did.
Did he?
Yeah, and just have his mentions blow up on Twitter last night. All right, we'll talk to you guys again next week. Thanks again to the professional MBA program at the Ivy College Business at Iowa State. Thanks to Carl Chevrolet being the presenting sponsor of the Carl Chevrolet Studios. Beat the Mountaineers and peace.